This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. My website has a meditation on it, a weekly meditation that you might want to read. You can contact me through the website or by regular mail. Leave me prayer requests, comment on the program. If you'd like to re-listen to the program, you can do that on the website. You can even download the program to your own computer and listen to it there. These programs are not copyrighted in the sense that I do not want them duplicated or used, but I do not want them changed, and I do not want them in any way used to make a monetary gain. But if they can be used by you, shared by you, you're more than welcome to do that with others who might be interested in them. Now, I understand that my copyright is a poor man's copyright, which means that because I have produced them technically, I have a copyright. The same thing as a copyright without a copyright, but I simply am only interested in the integrity of the program being maintained and the gospel maintaining its quality of being free. Now, today we're going to be looking at the end of, or we're going to continue to look at Acts 23. Acts 23 has been interesting in that it's been part of the story where Paul has gone to Jerusalem. He's gone there according to prophecy, knowing that when he got there, he would be persecuted and ultimately imprisoned. Ultimately, he would go to Rome. He has defended himself by giving his testimony to the Jews. They have rejected him. They have tried to prove that, in fact, he defiled the temple by bringing Gentiles into the temple, which he did not do. He even tried to become a Jew to the Jews and take an oath and consecrate himself for a period of time, thinking that this would relieve some of the burden and some of the pressure and allow him to preach the gospel more freely to them. But the Jews, the religious people, weren't going to have any of it. He was either going to preach the way they wanted him to preach. He was either going to say that Jesus was not the Messiah, and that he was destroying the Old Testament law and the prophets, or he was going to be destroyed. And these Jews seemingly thought that if they could destroy the messenger, they were destroying the message. And isn't it true that today, many times, religion can be that cruel? The reason we're concerned about some of the religions of the world is because around the world they're trying to establish their power through force. And so Christians are being persecuted and martyred in many parts of the world. I get information nearly every day through some organizations that I have confidence in that tell us of how that in China, in Indonesia, in India, and in many other places, those who have taken the position that Jesus is in fact the Christ, the Savior of the world, and who preach Him, they are being persecuted, imprisoned, and in many cases martyred. And yet, true Christianity does not allow us to do the same thing to others, and we need to remember that. When we look at the Old Testament, of course, God did show His vengeance upon people who rejected Him, and many people look at that and think that Christians have the right to do that in the New Testament, but you remember that in the New Testament, the Lord came to die for us. He's the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him, from Isaiah 53. And so, in the New Testament, we really are to show mercy, we are to show grace, and we make converts through the preaching of the gospel and not through military means or through force. It puts us at a great disadvantage because in many religions you can make a convert simply by having them say, yeah, I'm going to join up. But in the Christian religion, it's a heart matter, and while people may say they are following Christ, a true Christian is one who at some point in their life dealt with the issues of who they were and who Christ is and what the truth is. And they have dealt with the issues and found out that they themselves are not worthy of God's heaven, but that Christ died as the Savior of sinners to take them to heaven. And they receive that by faith, and it's a personal thing. They have a change of heart and a new life, and it's a personal thing, and that can't be forced on people. That can only be obtained through the power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel as people do repent and believe, and we are used in that work. But we never can make a true Christian by force. And so there are many religions around us that can, but we cannot. And so Paul was being persecuted for the fact that he had had a change of heart on the Damascus Road when the Lord appeared to him. And the one that he thought was the imposter, the Lord himself, he's now preaching as a savior of sinners. And these Jews in Jerusalem, these religious people who supposedly have the truth, want to kill him. Not just put him in prison, not just try to keep him from propagating what they would consider lies. They want him to be destroyed. And it seems to me like if what he's preaching is a lie, they should let their gods sort it out. They let them preach the truth, let him preach what he considers the truth, and let their gods sort it out, rather than forcing people to submit through force to what they believe. And so I understand that religious fervency runs high, because as I look at my own family, I want to see them all in heaven. And when I hear them listening to lies of other religions, it bothers me to think that they might believe this, but I can't change that. They themselves are personally responsible before God, and I have presented the truth to them. I have told them what the truth is. They have Bibles in their homes, and that's all the further I can go with it. But these Jews wanted to go further. They wanted to stamp out the messenger, put fear in the people that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wanted to stamp out this way. And yet we have seen down through the years that people who persecute the Christians actually promote the gospel, because the people who are willing to be faithful under persecution are people who are willing to preach, they are willing to live what they believe, and when others see that, it makes a difference in the way they approach the gospel, and it seems that the true spread of Christianity has often been associated with persecution. Not that I'm asking for persecution, but we have seen that happen time after time. Now today, then, we want to look at we want to look at the conspiracy in Acts 23, where we can see that when it was day, verse 12 says, when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now there was more than 40 that had bound themselves with this conspiracy, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though we were going to make further inquiries concerning him, but we are ready to kill him before he comes near. And when Paul's sister's son, Paul's nephew, heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him. So he took him, and he brought him to the commander and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you. Then the commander took him by the hand and went aside and asked him privately, what is it that you have to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they would neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now they are ready for the promise from you. And so the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, tell no one that you have revealed these things to me. And he called for two centurions, saying, prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night, about 9 o'clock at night, and provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix the governor. As I read this, I laugh. These men were not going to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. There were 40 of them that were not going to eat or drink until they killed Paul. So it looks to me like in about 40 days, because that's about how long we can live without food, and maybe in a much shorter time, because we can't live very long without water, these men should have been carried to their graves. I wonder if they had 40 funerals. I don't think these men probably carried out their oath, do you? I think they probably found out that the oath could be changed. Religious people are like that, you know. They like to keep the part of the law that they like to keep, and they like to avoid keeping the law when it doesn't really suit their purposes. But if I read the law properly, if you make an oath, you were to keep it. And so it would have been interesting to find out if they found 40 corpses that associated with this conspiracy against Paul. I really doubt very much if they did. But as you look at this, it's nice to know that Paul had somebody watching out for him. And of course it was his nephew, but of course the Lord had put that nephew there because the Lord had told Paul that he was going to witness to him in Jerusalem. In verse 11 it had said, we didn't read that this time, but that from last time we had left off where it says, "But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for you have testified for me. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, you must also bear witness at Rome." And if the Lord said he was going to bear witness at Rome, this conspiracy just simply was not going to work. But now this commander, who at one time had not realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and almost got himself in trouble because of that, he treats Paul much differently, and he's not going to lose a Roman citizen now. You'll notice that he has quite an army going with Paul as far as this little town that they went to. It was halfway between Caesarea and Jerusalem. So he has these 200 soldiers and gets them ready to take Paul to Caesarea. And I think we find out that they go to a little town called Antipas or something of that nature, and then some turn around and some keep going. But he was not going to take a chance. It wasn't that Paul was deserving of such a great army. It was that this man wasn't going to lose his prisoner and be held accountable for the way he treated a Roman citizen. So again, because Paul was a Roman citizen, this was a blessing to him. Now Paul's carrying on with his work. He had been told he was going to be a witness unto the Lord to the Gentiles, and he's carrying on that work, and he's doing that work, but he's testifying to his own people as much as he can as well, and he tells us in Romans that he would be willing to die for those people. He wants to see his countrymen saved. He has a heart for those that are unsaved, even though they are turning out to be his enemies. Religious people without Christ, cruel people, the way of peace they have not known, Romans 3 tells us, and he's himself subject to that cruelty, but he constantly tells people that Christ is the only answer, that he's been raised from the dead, and that they need to believe on him. And that's our message today as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon our program and upon all those who are listening today. They have needs we know nothing of. We pray that you will meet those needs for them. And if there's those that are unsaved, draw them to thyself, turn them from sin to the Savior, and help them to trust in him. We ask these mercies in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.